Okay, we're off to a graveyard, I think. Is that right, guys?
St. Mary's on Church Road.
In
Carrigaline.
In Carrigaline. Right, and why are we going to this graveyard, please?
To see if our great-grandparents might be buried there.
And can we have all the people in the car, can we hear the voice from the person in the back? Why are you going to this graveyard?
Because you're driving me there.
And there's a child lock on the doors.
Right. But actually, you guys are the ones who have captured
you
me because...
in 300 yards, turn right.
Did you get that? In 300 yards, turn right. Okay, my brother, who is completely unknown digitally, sorry, that I rephrase that, has no internet footfall whatsoever. That's not quite true, but basically is incognito, is carrying a tom-tom. Are you?
Yeah.
Is that thing going to give me instructions on where to drive?
In the voice of Mr. Byrne.
Right, can you change the voice?
Yeah.
Can you turn it into a woman?
Can you turn
it
into... Mrs. Byrne?
Can you turn it into a deep contralto?
I'll see what I can come up with.
Okay, can I get the sound test for the back, please?
So you want me to talk right now so you can hear my voice?
Yeah, what accent is that? Is that Scottsdale
Depart.
Accent?
Well, you know, I discovered I'll never make an anonymous phone call in my life because in the States everyone knows me by the Irish sounding one. And here everyone knows me as the one with the American accent. And when I meet Irish people in the States, they don't recognize that I'm Irish. They don't hear my Irish accent. So
Irish people in the States don't know you're Irish?
No, because I find that they typically have a much thicker accent than I do. And all they hear is are my Americanisms. Irish people in America, they have a glazed eye that comes upon them when somebody says to them, well, I'm
After
Irish.
After 500 metres, go left on the roundabout, first exit, then stay in the left lane. After
Sorry, I'll turn her down. Meters,
go left on the roundabout. So, you know, a glazed eye comes upon anybody Irish who hears an American say, oh, I'm Irish. Because they all tell you that, and then they'll all tell you...
You mean it's so common to be Irish?
It's so common for anybody to say to an Irish person, oh, my grandmother was Irish, or oh, I'm Irish. And what they mean is they're of Irish heritage. And, you know, after the 31st year, it has now gotten just a tad old how many people tell you exactly how Irish they are. So I recognize the same glazed eyes in anybody else if I use the phraseology, I'm Irish. So I never use that. I say, oh, I'm from Limerick. And then the focus of the lens of their eyes narrows and they look at you and they say, oh, you're really Irish.
I like that. I like that.
So you learn. You don't tell somebody Irish in America that you're Irish. You tell them what town you're from, so they get it right away.
So I'm from Carrigaline.
Yeah, you say...
I mean, I'm actually from Carrigaline, aren't I? I mean, I thought I was from Limerick until recently, until somebody discovered that I was actually got Cork roots.
Oh, okay.
You're 1/8 Carrigalinian.
Do you know, this is terribly important, because you won't get a job. Nobody will hire you in Cork unless you're Cork.
Really?
Oh, God, yeah. Don't talk to me about it. Don't talk to me. You know, this is a very relationship-based part of the world.
But with your surname, you must be assumed to be Corkonian.
The problem is my accent. Now, look, Trish, you are actually not an O'Mahony in the United States.
Correct.
So what
they
are you?
I can't say the word, so I don't bother.
Yeah, but what does your...
They
what
come
does,
up with something like O'Mahony.
Yeah, no, but forget that. What does Hoyt do to people in the States when they hear it? Where do they place you?
The name usually, people really don't know anything about it. It's not a hugely well-known name. It has Germanic and British origins anyway. And we don't really know much about it because it's from Jim's dad's side. And Jim's dad...
Betrays little, yeah. If it was Hoytstein or Hoytzinski...
Yeah, that's right.
But it might have been Hoytzinski at one stage, yeah? We're under the River Lee at the moment, guys. Trish, this is the Jack Lynch Tunnel, right? The biggest civil engineering project known to me in Cork. I knew a guy who drove pylons into the to build this thing.
Really?
Yeah, he was a pylon driver. He had a little hammer and he used to be very strong.
That's great.
Yeah. So look, this thing about Hoyt, does Hoyt have any connection with Chicago?
I don't know. I really just don't know. None of the Hoyts seem to know much of their origin, the back behind my father-in-law's father.
Okay.
Who was not a nice character.
Right. So they
had no relationship with him.
So San Quentin, they're all San Quentinites, are they?
Who knows?
Or what's the place?
I gather he just lay around and drank all the time and didn't go out to work. And
now you're being recorded. You don't have to. You may not want to say this. You know, quite so loud, right?
Yeah. Well, they don't. They didn't. Suffice it to say, they didn't have good memories of him.
Right. But basically, the point I asked you about Chicago is for a reason, because when I first, the first place you went to in the United States, is that right?
Chicago.
That you thought you were emigrating to?
Yeah, lasted 2 weeks.
You lasted 2 weeks in Chicago and you couldn't stand the wind, the chill?
I didn't like Chicago from the first day.
Now you are being recorded, right?
Yeah, well, everyone knows that. I didn't like it. I didn't see myself settling there and raising a family. It just didn't. The look of it, the size, the enormity of it, didn't do anything for me. And,
was it too big for you coming from the west of Ireland?
You know, Paul, this is relevant. When I left Paris in 1972, after having spent the year there, which I loved every second of every day that I was there. And I left it in 1972 and I said, well, so I've lived in a big city now. I don't need to do that ever again.
Oh, right. You didn't say I want to live in another big city.
No,
you said I've got the T-shirt.
I'm done. I knew that I didn't like exhaust fumes, busyness, glazed eyes that of people who have spent too much time in a metro avoiding each other's eyes, being anonymous.
That was your Paris experience?
Yeah. Every single day in the metro across to the student area, I can't remember which small it was, but basically from the north side to the south side, and you get the usual anonymity of public transportation. Occasionally somebody on a given day cracks through it, like the day a man came on playing a violin, and he entranced us all playing a violin and engaging with us all and making us all laugh and addressing the whole train. And then he said, oh, mes chéries, I have to leave, this is my stop, and off he got. And bit by bit, as the train moved from station to station, we saw the smiles and the interactions of each other just melt away until it was back to that same anonymity again.
The same way you drop a pebble into water and gradually the ripples disappear?
Right. Yeah, yes, exactly. That was fascinating. So that experience had really stayed with me. And although I loved being in Paris, I knew I didn't ever need to be in a very large metropolitan city anymore. So
why... You agreed... for some weird reason, which we'll call love, to go to Chicago?
Yes, you know, I honestly said to Jim, I really don't want to live in Chicago. And he said, but that's where I want to live. And I had to actually decide I guess I'm going to put up with this. And then it snowed on about the 12th of March. And I had only been there since a few days before. And Jim said, oh, I forgot how much I hated the snow. And he just absolutely hated it. And his parents were in Arizona. And so
never ever snowed in Arizona, has it?
Up north it does, but not in the valley.
Right.
And so I said to him, well, your parents are in Arizona. We could always go
visit them. You played the family card.
Yeah.
You pushed all those buttons, right?
Well, we really were just visiting, and to me it was a way of putting off looking for work, because I was overwhelmed by the idea of looking for work in Chicago, and I didn't even know what I wanted to do, and neither did Jim. He was a, you know, ex-seminarian. What does an ex-seminarian do looking for work? So we go down to and we've always said it over the years, we arriving to Arizona, into the valley, and I saw the first palm tree, and I said, well, this is good enough for me. I'll stay here. I love this. And it took us about 3 days to confess to each other that from the first day we had both been sold. And if you speak over the years, the 31 years I've been there now, to people who have come to Arizona, and you ask them, what made you move? They all say the same thing. Well, once in the month of March, I came to Arizona, because there is no more perfect time to come to Arizona than the month of March or April. It's a dream come true. It's a perfect climate, beautiful, just everything about it.
Wow. Well, look, that's amazing. That I've often wondered. I asked you about Chicago because there's a gathering of people in Chicago today. What day is today? Friday. Yeah. It's a group called Subcon. I'll tell you more about them later. But basically, they're actually gathering in Chicago. And since I've fallen in love with this community and would love to be in Chicago right now, I couldn't resist bringing Chicago.
Well, Melissa lives in Chicago.
Your daughter lives in Chicago. Yeah.
Andersonville.
Does she live near the water?
She lives probably 10 minutes walk from the water.
Is that a good place to live in Chicago?
Yes.
10 minutes walk from the water?
Yes, it's lovely. She's not far from where the whole park is that runs along the water. It's lovely. It's great.
But they call it a windy city. Does that mean it's viciously cold in the winter?
Yes. I don't know how to describe how biting the cold is when it's windy and when it's freezing. It cuts through you like a knife. It really does. It's cold. And down in the city, between where I notice it particularly is between one block and the next. You know, you turn onto one block and it's a gale force wind coming at you, blowing in off the lake.
Guys, we're nearly in Carrigaline. Oh. Right, Pete, we have to look for graveyards.
Yep.
It's twinned with Guidel in Brittany. That means that some of the local councillors get free trips to Guidel. I suspect that's all that means.
See, last week a town in Scotland called Dull had a meeting with the principals of a town in America with a view to having them twinned, and the town in America was called Boring.
You're making that up.
It's true.
Are you seriously?
Google it.
Dull and boring.
Yeah.
Who was the genius behind that? That sounds good fun. That sounds the right kind of reason why. I mean, that is going to put both of them on the map, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, the people in Boring are going to be thrilled that there's somewhere.
Dull people in Scotland.
Where
sharing their.
So
passion.
Dull Scots meet. Oh yeah, what state in the United States do we know?
Poor state.
I daren't express my complete, you know, prejudices. The state that I think of, oh God, no, I daren't even mention it. The state in the United States that I think of as being boring, you know.
Boring? Oh, I'd be interested.
A mining state, perhaps.
No. Why do I think this? It's Wyoming. Now, it's crazy, because actually the minute I say it, the more I think about, hang on, Wyoming's got gorgeous countryside. Beautiful mountains, isn't that right? Why is Wyoming boring? I'm wrong. It could actually be North Dakota.
Or Montana.
Why? Because I flew out of North Dakota, Minot in North Dakota.
Yes.
That's how I went to LA for the very first time.
Yeah.
I flew out of Minot in North Dakota in
1968.
Anyway, look, this is we're looking for a graveyard, guys. St. John's Cemetery?
Straight
Peter,
on.
Any good? Straight on.
No, not.
Have you got instructions on how to get us there?
Yeah, go straight.
Okay. Okay, you're the boss of the Search the Graveyard. Okay, we'll stop this audio boot now. Any last minute? This is your first experience I've ever been audio boot, Trish, is it?
It is.
Yeah? Yeah? Okay. Bye-bye. See you later.